Good morning, everybody. What a weekend. At about 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon, I opened my email. I am notorious for being a late email opener. And I opened it so that I could send to Roxanne the overheads for the message that I had planned to bring, and was very surprised at what I've discovered. And shortly after that, I received a phone call from Gail, I appreciate that, and from Jerry and Penny. And so I was taken aback and realized that what I was going to preach on, growing and maturing in the Lord, was not what we needed to hear this morning. However, I did bring, there's 25 copies of the notes that would have been for that message that will be on table in the back or out in the hallway. And you won't get some of the explanation of some of the references to Greek that are there, but at least you'll be able to see and read I think a rather important thing, that we continue to grow and mature in the Lord. And one of the elements of that I'm going to share this morning, because I was going to do a visual aid. In John 14, Jesus says, John 14, 23, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him." Our abode. He's going to dwell with us. And Jesus then goes on in chapter 15 to talk about the vine and the branches. And in verse 4 and 5, he says, "Abide in me, and I in you. I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing." And the word "in" is extremely important in what he's talking about. And I saw this done in Pullman, actually, for when we were there the spring for the Northwest Conference. And so it's not new. It's. I didn't come up with the idea, but I think it's a great one. The Lord says that we are to abide in him, and he is going to abide in us. We're going to be melded together, us in Christ, Christ in us. And that's what he wants. Are we in the Lord fully and completely? And he wants to be in us in such a way that our very, I was going to say atoms, the makeup of our body is permeated with the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to be in us in such a way. And I have met a few people, maybe enough for half a hand, and just simply being in their presence, you just feel the presence of the Lord. That's because they have surrendered to the Lord in such a fashion and invited the Lord to come into their lives, and they are in him. So that was going to be part of the introduction for the other message, but I still thought the visual of being in, that word "in" is extremely important, and we want to be in him as he is in us. So, sitting kind of stunned in my study, I decided that no, we didn't need to hear what I was going to talk about. And so I was directed to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. The King James starts out, "I would not have you ignorant, brethren." But reading from the New Living Testament, "Now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so that you will not grieve like people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from the graves. Then, together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be, and I would say all be, with the Lord forever. So encourage each other with these words. And the New King James translates that last phrase, therefore, comfort one another with these words. We'd have comfort from the Lord. Now, it says we're going to meet the Lord in the air. The words to meet in modern Greek mean what it has always meant, to leave a place and go to meet one who is coming toward you. We're going to go and meet someone, the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's not going to be time to pack a bag. We're not going to go to the closet and pull out something to wear. We're not going to make sure we have some of our belongings along. We won't have any need for the gold or the silver or the dollar bills or maybe the handful of change you have in your pocket. We're going to go and meet the Lord. He's coming. We're going to meet him. And then I would have you look at with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 to 58. That should be up there on the screen. Okay. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, this mortal will have put on immortality. And then will come about that saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not vain in the Lord. Behold, I tell you a mystery. That word means secret. And beyond that, it means something that is not obvious and is above human insight. It's a mystery. But Paul shares with us, and he goes on to explain about it. And I love this passage because of the constant dichotomy between imperishable and perishable, between the mortal and immortal. Back and forth as we read through this passage. We're going to be changed, it says. We will be changed. And that literally means to change the form or the nature of a thing. This body's going to change. It'll be a different body. It'll be a body like that of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was in one place and then he was in another. The doors were closed, they were shut in, and suddenly Jesus was there. Time will have no meaning. Space will have no meaning because we will have a different body. We're going to be changed. The very blood and vessels and cells will be changed. I'm thinking sort of dynamized. Something new and different. The word mortal. Yeah, we're mortal. Liable to die is what it means. Subject to death. Mortality. That's the nature of our current body. But it's going to be made imperishable. Imperishable means undecaying, immortal, incorruptible. And again, we're going to be now in the realm of immortality. And that means deathlessness without death. And he refers to a saying. He says, then will come about that saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? And that's from Isaiah chapter 25, verse 8. And the New King James reads that portion of the verse. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. Not only are we going to be changed, but the tears are going to be taken away. Then it says, after he's given us this tremendous mystery, opened it up for us, and he says, therefore, my brethren, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Steadfast. What has Pastor Kevin been saying to us about putting on the armor of God and standing to stand? So we're to be steadfast. Immovable, it says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? Because we have the Lord Jesus Christ living in our hearts, empowering us. Again, how long is it going to take for the change? In the twinkling of an eye. Change from perishable to imperishable, from mortal to immortal, to a new body. And so it is that this week, Alicia, who was standing at the front last week as I walked in, I turned the corner to walk in, and there was Alicia. She was tall. I mean, for a short guy, she was tall, a formidable woman, but she was filled with joy that morning. Shook my hand, gave me a hug, and you could just feel and know the joy of the Lord that was within her and the joy of the Lord that resides within us. She's been changed. In the twinkling of an eye. And we, beloved, have that to look forward, all of us. Yes. That's my simple message. The Word of God. Are you looking for His coming? Yes. Are you going to stand steadfast? Yes. I'm sure that clock has stopped. No. So I'm going to release you early today. But before we do, I'd like you to stand with me. I think it'd be good if we just kind of tried to grab hands, reached across, and all together we want to pray that the Lord will be in a very special way with Chris, and that each of us will be reminded of that which awaits us. We thank you, Heavenly Father, and we gather together as we lift up our hearts for Chris today and for Lisa's family, especially her mother and sister. We pray, Lord, that somehow you will reach into their hearts and bring them to know you so that they might join you in being changed and transformed by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have given to us and for the promises of your word that death is no longer applicable to us because we are going to be changed. And we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for the victory. We thank you for the victory that Jesus Christ has given to us. We give you praise, and we pray that you'll wrap your arms of love around Chris. And even right now, he might feel the moving of the Holy Spirit and a comfort lifting the heaviness that may lay upon him. We thank you for it. We agree together as this body of believers, and we thank you for the work of God in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated briefly. For the last 2 weeks, I have been reminded of a song, and it was my father-in-law's favorite song. Our family used to sing it, and then as our daughters grew older, they used to sing it for him. He would request them to sing it, and I was singing as it kept coming back to me. I mean, in the morning, night, every day. And I'm thinking, okay, Lord, well, I'm ready. I'm looking forward to it. Anytime, Lord. Anytime. I am going to a city where the streets with gold are laid and the tree of life is blooming, where the roses never fade. Here they bloom but for a season. Soon their beauty is decayed. I am going to a city where the roses never fade. Loved ones gone to be with Jesus in their robes of white arrayed, now are looking for our coming where the roses never fade. Here they bloom but for a season. Soon their beauty is decayed. I am going to a city where the roses never fade. Here they bloom but for a season. Soon their beauty is decayed. I am going to a city where the roses never fade. The Lord bless you. May you be reminded every day this week. Alicia's there, and soon we'll walk with her as well. Praise the Lord. Getting out early today.